ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14, chapter entitled Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. Text 26.
Yathāyatātmā param jayate so
Yathāyatātmā param jayate so
Mātpunyākathā śravanā didhānāya
Mātpunyākathā śravanā
didhānāya Tathā tathā pasyati vāstu sukṣmam
Tathā pasyati vāstu sukṣmam
Chakṣuryathaivañjana samprayuktam
Do the word for translation. Yata yata, as much as. Atma, the spirit soul, the conscious entity.
Paramjyate,
is cleansed of material contamination. Aso, he.
Matpunyagata,
the pious narrations of my glories.
Shravana, by hearing. Abhidhanai,
and by chanting.
Tata tata,
exactly in that proportion.
Pashyati,
he sees.
Vastu,
the absolute truth.
Sukshmam,
subtle becoming non-material.
Chakshu,
the eye.
Yatha,
just as.
Eva,
certainly.
Anjana,
with medicinal ointment.
Samprayuktam,
treated. Translation by the servants of Srila Prabhupada. When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, as a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories, he regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth in my subtle spiritual form. Translation responsively. When a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. Similarly, a conscious living entity cleanses himself of material contamination by hearing and chanting the pious narrations of my glories. He regains his ability to see me, the absolute truth, in my subtle spiritual form. Purport. The Lord is called Sukshmam because he is pure spiritual consciousness without any tinge of material energy. If one chants and hears the holy name and glories of Krishna with great sincerity, there is immediately a transcendental effect. We can immediately see the spiritual world and pastimes of the Lord if we fully surrender to the process mentioned here. A blind person feels perpetual gratitude to a doctor who restores his sight. Similarly, we sing Chakudan Jilaye Janme Janme Prabhu Se. The bona fide spiritual master, the representative of Lord Krishna, restores our spiritual sight and thus he is our eternal Lord and Master. Om Agyana Chimandasya Gyanangana Shalakaya Chakshu Om Minitamyena Tasmaya Shri Guruve Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we're discussing pure devotional service. as Krishna is explaining to Uddhava. So the main point, of course, the underlining factor is that pure devotional service is the highest stage in the yoga system, and that actually only by performing this system of yoga, this bhakti yoga, one can actually develop love for God, which has to be not tainted with any material desire to enjoy separately from the Lord, separately from Krishna. So here the process is given, as it's explained in the purport, the process of hearing and chanting the narrations of the Lord. Now I'll just read a verse. I didn't write down the reference. It's Tasmat Ekena Manasa Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi Shrotavya Kirtiyasya Cha Yeha Pujyascha Nityara. And the translation is that therefore with one-pointed attention one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So Krishna as well in the Bhagavad Gita gives us so many verses where he says by remembering his glories, by serving him, that we actually regain our status as his loving devotees in the spiritual world, and we don't have to come back again to suffer in this material world. Now the verse that we are all very accustomed to, and the verse that Srila Prabhupada would often speak on to explain this point, is Janma Kama Chame Divyam Evam Yuvati Tatvataha Jakta Deham Punam Janma Naitimam Etusho Arjuna. That one who actually understands and hears the different pastimes of the Lord and his activities doesn't actually have to come back and take birth again in this material world. And that person goes back to Krishna's eternal abode. So this has to come, of course, with constant hearing and chanting of these pastimes. And the more we do this, of course, the more we become rid of material desires, the more we become rid of the need or the want to have to enjoy separately from Krishna, which gets us in this problem, of course. So this is the mood of a pure devotee, that he remains fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord by constantly hearing these pastimes. And of course these pastimes have to be heard from qualified personalities. But in the previous verses, Krishna is explaining how you have different processes of mystic yoga, studying the Vedas, you have processes of intense austerity and renunciation. But Krishna himself is stating that he's captured and overwhelmed by the loving devotion that is showed by his devotees. And that is the highest point of self, that is the highest point of realization. So when we endeavor for self-realization, simultaneously we're endeavoring for God-realization. So when we try and understand Krishna, we understand ourselves at the same time. So this Srimad Bhagavatam often, in the Bhagavad Gita, we have different analogies and different ways in which Krishna is trying to impress upon our mind the eternal relationship that we have with him. So sometimes because the mind of a conditioned soul has become so contaminated due to so many sinful activities in previous births, that we can't actually understand simple words coming from the Vedas. And originally the Mahabharata was written for simple people, was written for people like us in Kali Yuga. But it's, I don't know about everyone else, but sometimes trying to follow the sequence of events from the Mahabharata or remembering everything becomes very difficult, and that's because of our degraded quality of the mind. The quality of the mind in Kali Yuga is just gradually decreasing in terms of potency. And we can see that in different things, whether it's learning or trying to remember different things like that. So the potency of the conditioned soul in the material world becomes very, very small due to the coverings of the modes of material nature. So when Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita uses all these analogies, these are different ways and means by which we can remember the message of Krishna. So here is a very simple explanation given about how when a diseased eye is treated with medicinal ointment, it gradually recovers its power to see. So of course we have different analogies explaining our condition in the material world. We have, you know, we have a deep dark well, we have the forest, you know, the forest of material suffering. We have so many different analogies that explain how much this world is terrible, explaining how much this world is a place of suffering. And here, the analogy of a diseased eye is pertinent to us because we can't really see who we are, we can't really see what we're doing in this life because our eyes, of course, are covered by intense ignorance, covered by avidya. But with that, there is a specific medicine that has to be taken to rectify the condition of the eye, to rectify the condition of the living entity. In that process, the most important, of course, the 9 processes that are given by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, describing Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam, and all the other different items of pure devotional service. Shravanam and Kirtanam, of course, are the most important because that's how we actually start developing more faith to worship the Lord, to render service to the Lord, and more faith to actually go under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So these are the basic, the 2 most basic and important aspects of trying to perform pure devotional service, that we constantly hear and chant the narrations of Krishna. So when one has a disease, not only an eye disease, different kind of diseases, you have a pharmacy or a chemist or different prescriptions where you can go get medicine. But of course Srila Prabhupada would often use the example that you can walk into a chemist or you can walk into a place and tell them that you're sick, and there's so many medicines around. So if you have a cold, there's so many different varieties of medicines you can take. If you have an ear infection, you have so many different options. So it's not that we just walk into the material world and we want to practice intense austerity to rid ourselves of our disease condition, or we want to come and practice, you know, Kundalini yoga and all these things. Although that is bona fide, you know, medicine for a specific age, but for us specifically, there's just this one medicine that can cure us from this diseased condition that we're in, and it starts with Shravanam and Kirtanam. Pure devotional service, hearing and chanting, destroys the avidya, the ignorance that we have, thinking that this world is permanent, this world is meant for our enjoyment, and thinking that we are, you know, we're the material body and our senses are meant to enjoy the different sense objects. So when one finds out that we're actually in a disease state, you know, we have to, you know, it's very simple for us to get, what's the English word?
Immunized.
No, not immunized. When you, the symptoms are very obvious of someone who's diseased in Kali Yuga. You know, our mind is just mad and, you know, we're lazy, as Bhagavatam says, misguided, we're unintelligent. And, you know, and we're always disturbed. And you can see that,
Quarrelsome.
A pin drops, you can quarrel over why the pin dropped, why someone stepped on my toe, or why someone, you know, it's very easy for us to quarrel because the mind just wants to shout and like speak nonsense. So the symptoms for us for Kali Yuga, they're very obvious. They're easily detected. Because that those are our crown jewels. These are the crown jewels for Kali Yuga mentality. Our quarrelsome nature, disturbed mind, our laziness, our unintelligence. So these are all the qualities, the qualities of Kali Yuga that people crown themselves kings and queens of. And this is how we try and enjoy with these qualities. But of course, you know, these qualities can be overcome, they can be nullified, they can be completely destroyed by this process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. So this is the medicine for this age. and the way in which we actually start receiving the full potency or the full benefit of this medicine is if we receive it from a bona fide source. So you can have some places where people are hearing and chanting, but they're hearing and chanting about, you know, someone's mental speculation about who Krishna is and what Krishna's activities are about. There's a lot of different people who see themselves as scholarly or knowers of the Vedanta, and they have discourses describing Krishna, but because they're not aligned with a pure devotee who has understood Krishna, then our hearing and chanting poisons our existence. So it's very important to hear and chant from the right source, from a bona fide spiritual master. And then our faith and conviction, as I was saying, our faith and conviction in the Lord starts growing. And in the Sri Upanishad, there's one purport for the 13th mantra where Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, our conviction that Krishna is the all-in-all is established only when we hear from an undisturbed acharya with faith and love. So only when we actually hear from an undisturbed, it's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada says an undisturbed acharya. So someone who's, Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain that when he says undisturbed, he means those, you know, an acharya, of course, one who teaches by example. So he's not disturbed by the material modes of nature. He's not disturbed about the flickering nature of the mind, because he's completely controlled the different, he's controlled his mind, he's controlled his nature of speaking. He acts in a specific way. He's totally fixed. He has this one-pointed fixedness on Krishna and Krishna's service. So he's not disturbed by the flickery happiness offered by the material nature. He's not disturbed by, you know, the energy, the external energy, Maya Devi. And you'll find, for us to see how bona fide certain teachers are or practitioners, we should see what kind of activities, it's very easy to see what kind of activities they engage in. So if one claims to be undisturbed and they have a smoking problem, or they claim to be undisturbed and they have attachments to, even being attached to renunciation, falsely renouncing, being attached to the opposite sex, or being attached to name and fame and prestige, this doesn't constitute an acharya. We see that Srila Prabhupada, he taught by example. He had so much opulence, he had so much fame, so much wealth, he had so much potency, and still he remained a simple servant of Krishna. And he always gave all the praise, and he gave all the glory, he passed it on to his spiritual master. So this is what an acharya does. He follows what's given in the scripture, and because he has developed these qualities of a pure devotee, then naturally he acts in a specific way. So these are the guidelines for hearing and chanting, that we actually approach a bona fide teacher, a bona fide acharya, and we serve them with faith and love. And in that way, our conviction that Krishna is the all-in-all will continue to grow until we fully surrender unto the Lord's lotus feet. So this also is very, this point about being convinced about Krishna being the all-in-all helps us in a specific way. It helps us actually embrace the process of pure bhakti. It helps us embrace even the process of sadhana bhakti, because that's going to lead us to the process of pure devotional service. So previously yesterday, Anuruddha Prabhu was speaking on the verse 25, which explains how, you know, when gold, just as gold when smelted in fire gives up its impurities and returns to its brilliant state, similarly the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of bhakti is purified of all contamination. So this hearing and chanting purifies this contaminated condition that we landed ourselves in. So it's very nice, of course, another analogy, a nice way for us to remember that by nature we're pure, but we've been taken out from our natural condition, become contaminated. But once we're reinstated in our natural environment, then all those qualities reappear, then all these qualities come out, and we start, you know, acting accordingly. like that. And the second point I'd like to speak on in this purport, Krishna is explaining how when we surrender to this process of hearing and chanting, especially when we're firmly taking shelter of a bona fide acharya or spiritual master, we develop this mood of gratitude towards the doctor who's restored our seeing. So when we take the process of devotional service, we have so many helpers, we have so many guiding devotees, we have Siksha Gurus, we have our Diksha Guru, and we have the devotees that we're practicing with, who are actually guiding us on our path to perfection. And Srila Prabhupada says that we have to develop this perpetual mood of gratitude. So perpetual means, you know, on and on, we're constantly aware of the sacrifice that the different devotees are performing on our behalf. And oftentimes I was thinking how the other day I was speaking to one of my friends, and I was just trying to think how, you know, all the time when I blurt out my concocted desires over an email to my spiritual master or to my mentor or whatever, I'm just thinking how many emails they receive in one day, and how much information, how much, well, for myself, how much junk is put in an email, material desires, all these things, and they have to tolerate all of that and gradually help us become elevated in consciousness. So when we understand the depth or the degree to which the devotees of the Lord are so tolerant, are so compassionate towards us, then it's very easy for us to become grateful, and perpetually we'll always offer our respects to them and want to serve them because they're constantly being our well-wisher. And of course, the most, you know, the most dynamic example, of course, is with Srila Prabhupada. If we read the Leelamrita and we see what Srila Prabhupada had to deal with his young disciples as hippies, you know, they didn't have any, you know, there were no good habits at all. We didn't have any clean habits at all. And Srila Prabhupada had to tolerate, and Srila Prabhupada was very compassionate towards them. And it's because of that that they actually surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, because they could see with Srila Prabhupada's action that he had a lot of love for them. Although they couldn't understand why this old Bengali man came to America and was loving them. So we see with Srila Prabhupada that this is the mood that he was also showing. This is the example Srila Prabhupada was also setting. That Srila Prabhupada was, you know, felt greatly indebted to his spiritual master, and he took on this task of spreading Krishna consciousness, and he never forgot that instruction, no matter what age he was at. So in this way, birth after birth, we want to serve such devotees. As we sing to Guru Puja every morning, actually this song that we sing every morning is really such a deep song, and sometimes I try and, you know, word for word analyze what am I saying when I'm singing. You know, if I say, you know, birth after birth, I want to serve you. You know, how willing am I to actually do that? If I just think about exactly what it means, how much am I willing to serve my spiritual master? How much am I willing to become selfless? Am I gradually, constantly trying to surrender more, or am I staying in a comfort zone and just trying to experience some pleasure at the same time? So it's a very point that we can, for ourselves individually, reevaluate and see how much gratitude we have towards the spiritual master and the devotees around us for helping us in our hearing and chanting process. Because if we actually understand what we've actually landed ourselves into. So if we think of all the different species of life, the 8,400,000 species of life, and how Srila Prabhupada in a morning walk in Los Angeles in 1974, he was explaining that, you know, it's not that you become just one species and then you move on. You become every single kind of dog. You become every single kind of hog. you become every single kind of spider. So we gradually move from one species of life until we get to this human form. And then by some causeless mercy, we appeared in a time where Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself has just left the planet, and he chose to come in this Kali Yuga. And we still have the Holy Dharma, and we still have so many things. And I repeat this over and over again. I think in so many classes I explain this point, that we've come such a long way, and somehow by some causeless mercy, that we've landed into chanting the most sacred mantra, into understanding the most, you know, dynamic, the most sweet relationship that one can actually have with Krishna. And we've landed ourselves at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So if we analyze our evolution, if we analyze our evolution on the ladder of the species and see where we are now and see where we're coming from, then we have to really develop that mood of gratitude. We have to really become so thankful and grateful to Srila Prabhupada for what he's done. And in that way, our process of surrender becomes really simple. It becomes easy. If we're really strongly convinced that this is the doctor who has come to cure my disease, you know, and it's because of him that I can actually see. That Uddhava as well, the spiritual masters, Uddhava, they act as our windows into the spiritual world. Because if it wasn't for Srila Prabhupada explaining to us what the spiritual world looks like, explaining to us how Krishna has a three bending form, explaining to us, you know, the color of Radharani's eyes, or the jewel, the Chintamani jewels in Vrindavan, if Srila Prabhupada didn't explain all of this, how could we ever could have thought what it's like in the spiritual world? Like if we read the descriptions of Goloka Vrindavan, even the descriptions of Dwarka, it's something that no ordinary person thinks about. How can you have wish fulfilling trees, desire trees? Now, who has ever seen a cow that produces unlimited quantities of milk? Now, these topics for a mundane, for someone with a materialistic mind or consciousness, it's almost impossible to actually just, even for a moment, try to imagine what's been given to us in the Brahma Samhita or in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Because our capacity is just so limited. So this is what this point Srila Prabhupada is bringing up about gratitude for us is very important. Because if we don't remain sincerely grateful in our practice of hearing and chanting, then we become extremely familiar with the process. You become familiar with, oh, I'm just going to chant my rounds, or I'm just going to eat prasadam, I'm just going to go to class. You know, it becomes casual. And only sometimes, of course, Krishna tests us, like Anuruddha Prabhu was saying yesterday, Krishna tests us to see how sincere we are by giving us a few hard times. And Krishna will take us out of the association of devotees to make us hanker and lose this sense of, you know, becoming familiar with the process of devotional service. Or Krishna can send up different obstacles, as we see with the different acharyas, you know, with Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, or Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Prabhupada. Even within other traditions, Lord Jesus Christ had to be crucified. So we shouldn't think that this process of bhakti yoga, of devotional service, is completely, you know, rosy, and it's just so amazing that we won't have a little difficult test. If our acharyas were tested, then how can we not become tested? You know, so that's something to meditate on. Of course, these tests are great benedictions because we actually get to surrender more, because we realize just how insignificant and how helpless we are in those conditions. That it's really not up to us, it's up to the Lord to help us. We can try as much as we can, but ultimately Krishna is in control. And I'll just finish off by reading the next level of instruction, these wonderful principles favorable for executing pure bhakti, pure devotional service. And that is Utsahan Nishchaya Thayat Tatat Karma Pravartanat Sankatyaga Sato Vritte Sadhir Bhakti Prasidyati. These are six principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. Being enthusiastic, endeavoring with confidence, being patient, acting according to regulated principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting and remembering Krishna, abandoning the association of non-devotees, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These six principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada is telling us, if you perform bhakti like this under the guidance of an acharya, you are definitely going to attain pure devotional service. And the secret, of course, Prabhupada points out, is that these activities must be executed with patience, that nothing will come overnight. So we stick to the process, we remain patient, and that's of course part of our surrender process, because when we're patient, it means that, you know, we're convinced that Krishna will protect us, Krishna will take care of us, so I'll just continue with my service. Krishna will take care of me. And that is patience. And when we endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness, is called usaha or enthusiasm. So this is endeavor with intelligence. So we check our intelligence with our authority. We check the intelligence with the sadhus, with the shastra. It's not that just intelligence means we jump up and down in kirtan, we run from this service to that service. Of course we show our enthusiasm with our actions, but enthusiasm also comes with the intelligence we apply in devotional service. So I'll just finish off. I thought it was a very good point to finish off with under this topic of pure devotional service, how everything becomes revealed over time, and we have to show that patience, that steadfastness, which will be attractive to Krishna, because that will show Krishna that we're surrendering to his direction, we're surrendering to his will, and that we take shelter of his devotees. We use our intelligence in applying our hearing and chanting process. Hare Krishna. Does anyone have any comment or question or correction? Yes, Surya Gopal Prabhu. Subtle spiritual form. I was thinking about that yesterday, because for us to be able to see Krishna with our material eyes is impossible. So of course we know that Krishna reserves the right to show himself or not show himself. So, you know, the example, we know that the mind is there, we know that ether is there, but these are all subtle elements. So the way that this, I was reading the translation and listening to some classes, that in this text where it says, you know, we get to see, I'll just look at it properly. In my subtle spiritual form, for me what I understood after researching this point, because I was thinking, what does it mean? That, you know, Krishna's form, we only see it when we get the eyes and the vision from the spiritual master. It's not something that we can, you know, grossly with our material vision see. So sometimes when something is subtle, it requires special seeing capacity. So in order to see Krishna's spiritual form, there has to be this very special facility or capacity to see. And this is also impressed in the Prabhupada, which explains how we can immediately see the spiritual, we can immediately see the spiritual world. And like in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana, that how with the ointment of love we get to see Krishna. So it's very, the word subtle here for me was indicating that, you know, we get to see Krishna, because Krishna of course is not matter. Krishna's form is spirit, and we have to get that special ability to see Krishna's real form. So for some reason, my understanding is that when subtle spiritual form, of course it means, you know, Krishna has that special form that is not material, and we have to get that special vision. Because when things are subtle, you can have your gross senses, but you won't see it. So it requires some other form of special vision that comes from higher powers.
Okay, everyone's happy. Mahatma Prabhu? It is not so simple to just put the ointment and get the vision back. So spiritual master is the real doctor who will try to analyze, because as you know, eyes have three layers, sclera, cornea, retina. So cornea has got cataract, so you can remove that. But if there is glaucoma, too much pressure of the fluid, then he has to treat somebody else. So spiritual master is the real, real person who knows what is to be done and how it has to be done. And if there is a problem in the retina, retina detachment, it is another operation. So depending on the material desires, when you approach the spiritual master, he will analyze. Mostly we are very selfish and we are always motivated by different things when we approach him. So our approach has to be, as you said, very
It has to be a sincere approach. So the spiritual master is explained as being an expert psychiatrist. So we can't play tricks with him. He's empowered by Krishna, and of course they remove the covering depending on how much we surrender. Krishna is not cheap, so whatever we get, that comes from the result of our sincerity. And we can't argue with it. So we have to be really sincere, and Krishna will reciprocate. Hey, Grantrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Gopalam 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 ki Jai